pray the spirit quietly for about 2 minutes, and it can come up anew with a different. But let's just pray the spirit for now, quietly, while the instruments are off for now. Just pray the spirit, connect with the Almighty God. Shift away from mere religion. Remind yourself that you have not just come for a meeting, a Sunday ritual. So when 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, there I am. You have come to meet with the King, the King, the King, the King, and the simplest courtesy you can give him is to magnify him to the point of expecting a change, an effect, an encounter. Let your mind not be blank. Let your mind expect. Make a transaction with your God. Express your desire towards him. Make known to him that which you desire to receive of him. His salvation belongeth unto the Lord. His faithfulness is forever sure. That the Lord would open your heavens, our heavens, that you would be a beneficiary, that we all would be beneficiaries, beneficiaries of his goodness. Let us begin to prophesy to ourselves. Let us speak the word of God to ourselves. Let us declare the word of God to ourselves, that the life in the word of God will find expression. We'll speak into our lives and later on into the meeting. Let us declare, I am a son of God. I am a temple of the Most High.
In the name of Jesus.
I delight to do thy will, O God.
Oh, God.
I love righteousness and I hate wickedness. God. I am perfect.
Oh,
even as
God.
My heavenly Father is perfect.
Yes,
I am holiness unto the Lord. Blessed be the glory of the Lord,
Lord.
From this his place.
Yes,
from
Lord.
This his place.
Yes,
from this his place.
Yes,
this place that I am.
Yes,
I
Lord.
Love righteousness.
Yes,
I hate wickedness.
Yes,
I am the express image of the heavenly Lord. Father. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. Dwelleth in me. I am created in righteousness and true holiness. I am created in righteousness and true holiness. I am love. I think no evil. I take no record of wrong. I do not vaunt myself. I do not seek my own. I bear all things. I believe all things. I endure all things. I never fail. Maroski vanobreheske palovre nika kufre. Speak the word of God to yourself. Speak the word of God to yourself. I am a house of prayer. I am a house of prayer. I pray without ceasing. I pray without ceasing. Let psalms and hymns and spiritual songs ascend from me unto my God. I am a king. I am a priest in the kingdom of my God. I am a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. I walk the way into the holiest, into the holiest. I lay hold on the hope that is beyond the veil. I am victorious in the good fight of faith. I lay hold on eternal life. I lay hold on eternal life. Api kapovre nonse, ref kapovre nonse, skapovre nashka libre nonse, ranika paposke nik anamovre nonse. I am a partaker of the divine nature of the Almighty God. Jakishka nik. I have the keys of heaven. Whatsoever I bind on earth is bound in heaven. I go into all the world. I preach the gospel to all creatures. I baptize men in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I lay hands on the sick, and they are healed. I take up serpents, and it does not hurt me. I am seated with Christ in heavenly places. I am created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Sin shall not have dominion over me. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord God Almighty. In the name of Jesus. We will now begin to prophesy over this meeting. We will call upon the King of Glory, the Lord God Almighty. He said, "Call upon me and I will answer." We will invite him into this place. He said, "Where two or three are gathered, I am there." So let us affirm, let us prophesy, let us declare the presence of God in this place. We affirm, O King of Israel, that you are here. Come in your majesty. Come in your splendor. We invite you, O great one, O great King, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. We invite you in the name of Jesus. We invite you, the God of gods, the God of gods, the Lord of lords. Mighty and terrible. He taketh not reward and haveth no regard for any persons. Come in your majesty. Come in your splendor. Come in your beauty. Come in your power. We request, King of Israel, come. King of Israel, come. Come and come with your glorious, mighty angels. Come and touch everyone in this place. Come and stretch forth your mighty hands. Come and cause us to have an encounter with you. We know that if you shall touch us, O God, our situation will change. We will know a deliverance. We will know an upliftment. We will know an enablement. We will know an elevation. We will know emancipation. We will know impartation. God of Israel, we ask that you come. We say to the gates of our hearts, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. Let the King of Glory come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. He is the King of Glory. We bless you, O Father. We appreciate you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Holy, I, Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Holy,
oh, yeah.
The advantage that we have in you, in the name of Jesus. We receive much help, we receive much grace. We have found that our body are the members of Christ. So Lord, we avail ourselves in speakings and doings that your purposes alone will be accomplished.
Hallelujah.
We have no strength, no wisdom, no skill.
Hallelujah.
no understanding.
Glory.
But we ask that we would really enjoy, we would benefit.
Yes, Father.
So we submit the rest of the meeting into your hands.
Okay.
Have your way, O Great One. You said, fear not. I am the first. I am the one that you saw, John. You laid your chest, your head on my chest. You could interact with me as flesh and blood. And I am still the one that you can see. Eyes like a flame of fire. Countenance as the sun. Don't be afraid. I that began you then, calling you from being a fisherman, I am able to finish and complete you. Look like me. Fear not. I am the first and the last. We take consolation that you are not just able to begin, you are able to finish. Hallelujah to your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Yes, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, by God's grace, in all things we have found that we are learning walk, and we trust the Lord for much help. Initially, I was quite reluctant to minister. I was like, you know, Bible class is going on, and there are many vessels in the house, so taking two duties. But I was strongly encouraged not to think so, and when the opportunity popped up, I just had this pull in my spirit. So I said, well, you know, let's see what the Lord desires to do. So for that case, I am here today by God's grace. And there's a dimension to which the Lord alone is the one that is able to deliver, convey, witness this that He has put in my hand. So that's why I say we're learning work. Only He can do it. So that's why we desire Him to, you know, to be in attendance and to do what only He can do. But I like to be very plain. So the genesis of this, or how it came about, a couple of days ago, was it, I don't remember, but early in the week, very early in the week, I have this thing where sometimes I'm just going about the house, I'm going about activities, and then I get to this junction where I just think about my life. Like, it's usually a pause. It's like an inflection where you just pause, you sigh, you do things, and you just pause and sigh. And so, I just, man. So sometimes it's like, generally, takes the tone of like, have mercy on me, oh Lord. Or that's, it may not be necessary that I did anything bad, but for some reason I just feel as though there's so much more, like I always feel like I'm way behind schedule. Or like below standard of what the Lord wills for me, for His people at this time. So many times I'll just pause and just say, have mercy on me, O Lord. Or sometimes it will be praise, or maybe Hosanna in the highest or something. But there are these frequent pauses and inflections that will just pop. But on this day, and I think it has happened before, but this was the first time I was noting it. Something just used to come out of my mouth. So this day, I went, I was walking towards the washroom. I just sighed. I was like, and what came out of my mouth is, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. I was like, it's cryptic. So I was thinking, chariots of Israel, the horsemen thereof. And there was this witness to it, as though he's saying something. Go focus on this. Go look up what that. So the chariots of Israel. I kept chewing on it. And in chewing, it took me to 2 Kings. 2 Kings. If I'm to look for a title to this message, it would be after the order of, Chidera and those. I don't know if this one is up to his. I don't know that from start to start, but that's probably the longest I've had. But if I'm to call it, I'll call it the Chariot of Israel and the Horsemen thereof. Hyphen. The agents of accelerated advantage. Amen. Yes. So the emphasis is on the agents of accelerated advantage. There are other ways it could be coined. So I'll just hegel on for a bit. Just peruse or Habakkuk. Just start talking things and see what the Lord will say before we begin to read through 2 Kings. I'm still trying to find my way in the spirit and know. You know, there's a dimension to which the Holy Ghost is your notebook, and he will tell you, like, you know, how the thing to go. So, well, that's why I say we're letting work. But by God's grace, the reality is that we find ourselves in a season where he says we... Things are, the Bible says in Matthew 24 that iniquity will abound, the love of many will wax cold. The reason it's important to understand that sentence, there's a way you can read it and just be like, yeah, iniquity has been abounding, iniquity will continue to abound. But I propose in my heart that my own love is not going to wax cold. There is a dimension of opposition that may be quite beyond your determination. The goodly proposings in your heart, you make a determination in your heart and say, I will not do this. That's good to an extent. But there comes an angle to which you need an advantage. You need assistance. When we, I guess, similar to what we were looking at in the Bible class, once you see the agents orchestrating darkness, once you just take to mind the kind of onslaughts that are pumped into the heavens, the things that would make people begin to wax cold, iniquity, people begin to betray one another, people begin to turn aside from the faith. It's not just circumstantial. It's not just activities in the physical. It's the environment, the spiritual environment being charged with agents of darkness that affect people in terrible ways. We're living in a time where the battle is going to be quite spiritual. So if you have not reckoned how to employ your advantage as a child of God, you may find yourself as, God forbid, you will not find yourself, but one who does not know or does not know how to draw an advantage will find himself at the mercy of this onslaught. If the Lord will say of his people that Some will betray one another. Not only did they turned aside and betrayed one another. Let me give you an example of what betrayal means. We're in this place, we're all fellowshipping together, we're smiling and happy. God forbid somebody in this place should flip. That's turned aside. He has flipped. Okay, he has flipped. Then betray that the person will now walk with the parties of darkness to inflict injury on the people in this assembly. Now it could be, God forbid, the person has even come to this pulpit to minister the word, or to pray, or to worship. I'm giving you an example of how weird and strange, if not for the advantage we have, the kind of machinations the enemy is seeking to do will create such an environment. So that is the season we find now. Some other things will probably materialize that would make it more evident. There will be conditions in the physical that will serve as pressure junctions, except for those who have mastered how, by the mercy of God, to shift. Like, a pressure junction is something that Elijah faced, and but he somehow had learned how to subscribe to another economy. The ravens brought him bread, the brook, when there was everything was supposed to dry. He believed in the waters of the brook. He believed in the provisions of a widow that was about to run out. So, except we know, we have mastered how to enter some dimensions. And these are not dimensions you enter because you want to come and minister. It's no longer for ministerial sake. It's now for your daily existence. If I should just play a bit in my speech, the whole Philip transportation may not be an exclusive preserve of some ministerial juggernaut. It may just be your required way of transportation, given that, you know, you may not be able to access some other mode of transportation. So it just becomes a daily provision. The man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord may be what is required of you to do. You may need to be able to draw energy and strength from the word of God. Basically, what I'm trying to say is that the miraculous and the supernatural provisions would have to be our daily experience for us to maintain an advantage, for us to maintain a perpetual victory over the dimensions. That is, anybody on the borderline now, if you find yourself on the borderline of your Christian faith, unfortunately, it is most likely that you may not be able to make it, except you press in further. It is not time to be on the peripherals. If you're finding yourself dealing with some of the little demons and spirits now and different pools here and there, or not fully giving in your faith to the Lord, it is most likely that you will wax cold. It's just what it is. When -150 comes, if it meets something at 20 degrees, it will send it. If it meets something at even 100 degrees, it will flip it. It is only maybe if it meets you at 1,000 degrees, then even -150 cannot still finish you. That tells you the degree to which we can press. But the thing is that after a certain temperature, it is beyond your human ability. You cannot go beyond your own human effort to enter into some dimensions of strength. The realities of our Christian faith were not designed to be attained just by mere determination. So, the premise of the chariots of Israel comes about as the advantage of the people of Israel. When you consider the chronicles of their experience, some things are not said just because it's the book of Chronicles, but in our African, you know, traditions, we know that when villages are fighting, they will not just fight anyhow. Even before the people that is carrying chakabula and sword and all that go and fight, some other people would have disappeared and showed up in the thick forest, and they'll be giving themselves what? Give themselves what? The person who wins that fight is the one that will determine the rest of. So those other ones are just playing with themselves. Some they don't even need to fight, they just tap them and tell them to drop all their weapons and all whatnot. So it is apparent there, but it may not be apparent when you think of Persia as a kingdom, or Grecia as a kingdom, or Rome, or the Canaanites, or the Perizzites, or the Hivites, or Jericho. You may just think, oh yeah, it was just a military campaign. No, these guys were enshrined in Ashtaroth and Molech and Baal and what was that annoying one? Chemosh and all whatnot. They were doing all these kind of things. So the fact that Israel as a people could come is not just physical. You just come out of Egypt. You come with the one that you, what you were using to hold the crown before. You just come and you just beat an entire nation just like that. It doesn't happen. So we have to come to a point where we appreciate the fact that life is spiritual. And if you would make any relevant progress, you must know how to engage your advantage. The advantage of Israel was captured in the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. So I'm paraphrasing before we go ahead and read passages. We have the example of Jericho. We have a clear example there where the envoy of the... Now, when we think of chariot of Israel, it evidently what comes to mind is a war machine. It's because a chariot was for war, general war, transportation. It's actually an agent of transportation in one angle. It's an agent of warfare in another angle. So the chariots of Israel are what enable the people of Israel have an advantage in supernaturally moving from point A to point B at an unnatural pace, crossing hurdles that naturally speaking they couldn't have crossed. So when you are riding the chariots of Israel, you're able to make great speed. You are also having the backup of a regiment of spiritual forces at your disposal. We saw one of that manifestation in Jericho, where they were faced with a big wall physically. That was a physical problem. They were also faced with whatever spirits were backing that nation. But they've done what they can do. So now, in this economy, you will find that you will do things. There are physical steps of faith that you can take that may seem insignificant, but translate to major victories in the spirit. And what bridges that gap is the chariots of Israel. Amen. So in the case of Jericho, they were able to pull down the wall that normally they cannot pull, defeat an established nation that older than them, I guess, because of that backup. It's similar to when they left Egypt and the Pharaoh and his chariots were coming to have destroyed them again. He says there was a whirlwind that appeared and intercepted the advancement of darkness. That is a manifestation of the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. But let us now read. That was just a paraphrase as we are finding ourselves in the spirit. 2 Kings chapter 2. We'll read through it. I'm not sure if we'll pause. We may pause. And we'll see how the Lord will give grace.
1,
everybody read 2, 3, 4, and so on like that. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal.
And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel.
So I'm going to read, but as we are reading, our case study is Elisha, and as an example of a posture we can take for obtaining an advancement. And the Lord will make it clear. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elijah and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace.
And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho.
And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace.
And Elijah said unto him, Tarry here, I pray thee, the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee.
And
he was gone.
And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they stood by Jordan. And they too stood by Jordan, sorry.
And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together, and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground.
And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee, before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me.
And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, I shall be said unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so.
And it came to pass as they still went on and talked, and behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven.
And Elijah saw it, and he cried, My father, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his clothes, and rent them into pieces.
And he took of the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And when the sons of the prophet which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him.
And he said unto him, Behold now, yet they be themselves as a teaching strong men. Let them go, pray, and seek thy master. Lest our measure of the spirit of the Lord have taken him up, and cast him upon some mountain, or into some valley, and he said, He shall not be sent.
And when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, Send. They sent therefore 50 men, and they sought 3 days, but found him not. And the men of the city said unto Elisha, Behold, I pray thee, the situation of the city is pleasant as my Lord seeth, but the water is not, and the ground barren. And he went forth unto the spring of the waters, and cast the salt in there, and said, Thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. And he went up from thence unto Bethel, as he was going up by the way. There came forth little children out of the city, and mocked him, and said unto him, Go up, thou bowed head. Go up, thou bowed head.
And he turned back and looked on them, and cried out in the name of the Lord. And they came forth 2 she-bears out of the wood, and tarried 40 and 2 children of them.
And he went from thence to Mount Carmel, and from thence he returned to Samaria. Little joke, I don't know how many people have watched Passion of the Christ. Is it Passion of the Christ? Think it's Passion of the Christ. It's one of these Jesus movies that has some really cryptic, demonic children inside.
Passion of Christ.
Passion of Christ. Initially, when I hear this story, I used to feel bad for these children. That guy Elisha was mean. When I was reading it again, it just dawned on me that no, these children are not—they are not normal because somebody has just received something and you're trying to make mockery of it. Like it just seemed very strange. And for the scripture to record it, as a side note, Jack, but it's actually a lesson. If we remember what Ruki shared with us some time ago about strange children. And the vision is shared, it was quite a merciless judgment that came. So we will come to that. And when we read passages like this, Old Testament in general, our posture should not just be taking information for academic sake. Blessed are we if we are able somehow to see the salvation of Christ and how it relates to us. So as we are reading this, the Lord will help us as we come back to begin to align some things, but we will come back to it. But Elisha faced a couple things. He faced the Jordan when he was to cross. He faced the land that was its water was bitter. He faced and it was barren and there was death in the land. He faced the scenario of this bad, you know, children. Amen. I'm trying to gauge. Let us go to 2 Kings chapter 13. We will come back to 2 Kings chapter 2. We'll spare ourselves the reading. And we'll go straight to 14. Here, there were some chronicles of some kings and some kings and some kings. We'll skip all that, but we'll read from 14. I'll read 14, then we read, and then we alternate like that till we get to the end. And then we trust God for capacity to begin to speak like that. Maybe 15 minutes later, we'll just then. So now, from verse 14. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof.
And Elisha said unto him, Take bow and arrows. And he took up unto him bow and arrows.
And he said unto the king of Israel, Put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it, and Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands.
And he said, Open the window eastward, and he opened it. And then Elisha said, Shoot, and he shot. And he said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. Thus smite the Syrians in heaven, till thou hast consumed them.
So basically the pretext is Syria has collected land. They said, yes, Syria was the agent of judgment. They're in oppression, many of their cities are taken. And 18. And he said, Take the arrows, and he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, Smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed.
And the man of God was wroth with him, and said, Thou shalt smite five or six times. Then I shall smite in Syria, if thou hast consumed me. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria both thrice.
So he smote the ground three times. Elisha is telling him that those three times translates to three victories over Syria. So he was not happy that he should have done more than that. Maybe he did not know. Sometimes we do not know, but the Lord will give comment on that later on. And Elisha died, and they buried him. And the band of the Moabite invaded the land at the coming in of the year.
And it came to pass that
after burying the man, that behold, he spied the band of men, and cast the man into the sepulchre of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the wounds of Elisha, he revived and stood on his feet.
But Hazael, king of Syria, oppressed Israel all the days of Jehoahaz.
And the Lord was gracious unto them, and had compassion on them, and had respect unto them, because of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and will not destroy them, neither cast in them from his presence as yet.
So Azael, king of Israel, died, and king of Syria died, and Ben-Hadad, his son, reigned in his stead.
And Joash, the son of Joash, took the name of the land of
Amen. So in this reading, what we see for summary's sake is in 2 Kings chapter 2, I'll just go there and just begin to speak as the Lord grants utterance. The premise of the message is the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. The pretext being the advantage we have and how we ought to employ that advantage in different aspects of our lives. An art that we would need to master as we enter into stranger times. It says, arise and shine, for thy light is come. Light as an entity, a person. For darkness shall cover the earth. The light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. This living, active darkness, perpetuating itself. We talked about in the Bible class, new doctrines of devils, suggestive influences. We're looking at a time where there will be sort of barragement of the mind, of the heart. It's a man's heart failing them for fear. Not just are they panicking, but the kind of onslaught will be such that the strength you need to maintain holiness in your heart, maintain faith, maintain love, maintain the virtues of Christ begins to venture beyond you. There is a kind of wall that you can just kick and climb. There is a kind of Jericho that is not normal. You have to master how to receive the help of God. So in this passage, 2 Kings chapter 2 and chapter 13, we find a case where Elijah is to be taken away. And he first of all says, oh, stay in Bethel. Elijah said, no, I will not leave you. Stay in Jericho. I will not leave you. The Lord has said I should go to Jordan. Just tarry here. No, I will not leave. And he goes all the way. He goes all the way. And upon crossing Jordan, he says, what do you want? He says, give me a double portion of thy spirit. So thy spirit is the way it can be described. Now we know that that reference to thy spirit is basically, give me the kind of anointing you have. So anointing, thy spirit, similar languages. That is what Elisha was looking for. Elijah understood that this thing you are calling anointing or thy spirit, the operations that you consider beyond the ordinary, that you think is my anointing, is actually because of some agents behind me that are doing the work. I'm just a human being. There are some agents doing something. So the only way I can know that you are supposed to get it is if you get a revelation of the back-end workings. So he kept working with him. And says, if you see me go, fine, then it means the Lord will have you receive it. So they were going and were talking. And then he saw a chariot of fire. And then it went up by a whirlwind. The fact that he uses by a whirlwind reminds us that in the case when Egypt was coming out, Israel was coming out of Egypt, that whirlwind, pillar of fire and cloud that stopped the advancement of Egypt was actually a manifestation of what we later call the chariot of Israel. Basically, this is angelic activity. There's the operations of angels that constituted the supernatural advantage for Israel. So Elijah is saying, the things that you see working in my life are because of the operations of angels. Though he didn't use that phrase. But he said, if you see, then it means you're supposed to get So he went on. And when Elisha saw it, he said, my father, I can see it. These are the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. It's beautiful the way, maybe beyond articulation, there's just some way that phrase, the chariots of Israel, it's a state allocation. It is Israel's heritage. It is Israel's spiritual infrastructure. That is the constituency of Egypt in the spiritual. Of Israel in the spiritual. The chariots of Israel. So it's not just a new thing. It is something that has been put in place and has constituted the reason why certain possibilities are manifesting in their midst. At that point, Elijah was a singular, as it were, embodiment or channel for the outflow of such possibilities. Elisha wanted to also be an embodiment, a channel of these possibilities, so that the advantage of Israel, worked by these forces that constitute angelic activities, may also find expression in his life. Now, Elisha, we may see as a prophet, but in the New Testament, it's not just the singular individuals that are manifested. Every one of us, being children of God, are born into Israel. We are children of God. We are partakers of the commonwealth of Israel. And that being our heritage, it means that we are entitled to the chariot, the effect, the workings, the operations, the advantage offered by the chariots of Israel is supposed to be our daily experience. Now, in our kingdom posture, there is the dimension of affirming the kingdom of God in our lives. We as the dominion of God. We as the realm where the king presides over, for which we talk about character and moral uprightness, and aligning our expressions to be in consonance with the Lord Jesus Christ, then there is a dimension of kingdom posture that becomes to be you as an agent affecting your environment, channeling the advantage of Israel to take over new territories. Amen. But today, our focus is basically on our individual lives now. Individual, in the sense that as we're speaking, we should be taking stock of our lives, taking stock of different aspects of our lives, and evaluating ourselves and saying, okay, what are different challenges? What are different battles? What are different things going on in my life? It could be academic, it could be moral, it could be financial, it could be spiritual, it could be in your dream life, it could be just a sense of delay, slow down, backwardness, or moving forward. Anything that constitutes an issue of some sort. The reality is that you being a citizen of Israel ought not to just be relegated to experiencing things that answer to a disadvantage, because the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof, you were born into that reality. Imagine you are born into a kingdom, and from the day you learned to walk and you are allowed to play on the street, you just saw some chariots passing, and they see just a daily activity. They crisscross the kingdom and they just gallant in their appearance, and see how. Who are those? Ah, those are the chariots.
Hallelujah.
Of Israel. They are just doing what they do. Glory. But if that is the economy, the kingdom, the reality we are born into, then it's an aberration if in our personal lives we seem to be defeated, we seem to be struggling with some kind of oppression. It means we have not mastered. And if we are in that condition now, when have you not read Revelation chapter 9? He said the trumpet was sounded, a star fell. To him was given the key of the bottomless pit, and he opened it, and great darkness was released. And what came out of the bottomless pit is an army of locusts. And he begins to describe a very terrible thing. And he says the king, they have a king over them whose name is Abaddon. And that means destroyer. Now, imagine that kind of reality is pumped out. So, morality, I want to say on steroids, but I don't know if that's proper to say on the pulpit. But you talk about, like, when you take iniquity and you stretch it, aggressive, conscious iniquity pumping you in the face, any angle of your life that seems open, you see the stroke, it's like an uncovered area. You're talking about spiritual frostbite of heavy degrees. So now, we need, for our daily existence, we need to understand how to apply the advantage we have. The chariot, we cannot be born into Israel, and they are the chariots of Israel, and yet we are the disadvantage. So you should take very good stock, the desire, time in consideration, is to go into a time of prayer where this is you to God prayer. And because you are a citizen, and being a citizen, you have an entitlement. So now we will read, or we will just keep talking. Elisha now has received this reality. He has seen the chariots of fire. He has affirmed that these are the chariots of Israel. And Elijah has gone. So now, there's one song where they say, this is the first day of the rest of your life. I know it. Where's Anna? I know we know it, because we used to sing all this kind of songs. But this is the first day of the rest of your life. The point is that everything you can write of Elisha's life, at that junction, you need to open a new chapter. Because now he has encountered the chariots of Israel. Now he knows. Now he's in a similar scenario as when we are born into a kingdom. Maybe hitherto he was not in that reality. Unlike him that needed to come into it at some point. From a born-again experience, because of what Jesus has done, we were already introduced into a kingdom that had such provisions, and we have access to such things in him. Amen. So that being the case, we are in a similar situation as Elisha after seeing the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Now, he now begins his escapade, and he begins his journey of life. On his journey of life, the first thing he comes across is River Jordan. It's like you are playing video game. That's the first thing he came across. And it dawned on me that what he did is not necessarily the most apparent thing to do. In hindsight, reading it just says, yeah, it makes sense. Elijah did it, so you know he did it. But after, when you take time to meditate, imagine that was you in that situation. You may find that what he did may not necessarily be your immediate reaction, which becomes a lesson point for us. I believe that river has been there all the while. There have been people on this side, and there have been people on that side. So there's existing infrastructure for crossing that thing. I don't know if they had the technology for a bridge, but at least there would have been boats. There would have been something. People have been crossing that way in a natural way before. There have been ways. So he could have advised himself, and he knows, or maybe he did not know, that the sons of the prophet are watching from Jericho. So one line of action could have been, okay, wow, this is such an encounter. And when he gets to Jordan, Elijah is not with me, let me not go down myself. Just find a boat. In his mind, he's just recollecting on this glorious experience that he had. And he just goes home. He's going, let me just go and go to my house and just think about my life. Just gather myself on all these beautiful things that have happened. And begin to press and hope for the day when there will be an expression. But no, he tested it immediately. He went there and said, okay, if this is the reality, then he invoked a principle which for us translates to something like, call upon me and I will answer. It's a statement. Call upon me, I will answer. Okay, now let's go and see how that thing works. So he goes to the Jordan and he takes the garment and he smooths it over. The beauty in this advantage sequence is that in all of them, both here in chapter 2 and in chapter 13, you will see a, I don't know if dichotomy is the right word, a variance between the physical action and the result. The bridge is because of that advantage. How does somebody strike the ground 3 times? And that translates to winning battle 3 times. Or shoot an arrow into the midst of nowhere, and they say that is the arrow of deliverance. Now, how does somebody smite? You can go and take any body of water now, take garment, take rock, take wood, smite it. The thing has no capacity in and of itself to split the waters. But he decided to test it. After all that, the gospel that was preached to him. So he took his mantle and he exploded. And he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? The beauty is that as his kid, now I happen to have worked as a manager for a period. And in that period, I had a better appreciation. In all my other experiences, I was used to just getting tasks and doing it. Getting tasks and doing it. But now was the first time I was getting a handle on delegation, where you delegate things. But the beauty, the interesting thing about delegation is, though you delegated, it is still your name. You didn't do it, but it is on your head. It is you. So when the VP, no, the CEO, would, not American CEO, would ask the Canada CEO for something, he would go and ask the VP. The guy has no business coming to me. He would ask the VP to produce it. I see. So when he's talking to the VP, he's talking to the VP as though he's giving the VP the work. So I need you to do this and do this and do this, and I need this from you, and I need this. If you can produce this, that would be great. This is what I want. And some missing spaces, he expects the person to fill in the blank. Then she would go, call a meeting, bring the director. So yeah, I need you to do this and do this and do this, and describe. The director will come and meet me, call a meeting, come and explain to me. Yeah, I need this from you and this. Except you follow the chain, I will be relating as though this is an initiative from the director, like she wants this for herself. But the director is collecting it because the VP asked for it. Now I'll come and meet maybe an analyst in the team that, oh yeah, can you help with this, and this, and develop it. But the reality is, so from the top notch, as far as the overall CEO is concerned, he's not necessarily expecting that the president, that's the Canada president, will go and be the one typing things himself. Under you is a whole bunch of personnel and infrastructure and an organization. It's left to you to figure out how you want to enforce that combination of things to produce this. All I want is that you produce this. He's the one that knows, he will talk to the VP, he will talk to this, and he knows exactly who to call for what purpose. So when he says, where is the Lord God of Elijah? The king is the king on the throne. You will not necessarily all the time expect the Ancient of Days to stand up from his seat on every occasion to come and do the work. So Hebrew 1 will say they are ministering spirits sent forth. They move at the name of the Lord. So now that's why he told those guys when they were leaving Egypt, he said, be careful, my name is in him. And that is actually a description pertinent to the angels that gives an understanding of how to maximize the advantage, the name of the Lord. Their regard is not necessarily for you. You are only useful or regarded to the extent you are in him, but the name of the Lord. So when he says, where is the Lord God of Elijah? It is by the authority of the Lord God of Elijah that the chariots of Israel will move. So it is still the effect of the chariots of Israel, which are the spirits backing Israel up, that water was split. So he did a physical action, but there is nothing in that physical action that can translate to splitting the waters, except by the backup of the advantage of Israel. And when he applied that principle, He saw a result. He split the Red Sea. So now we should be careful to always make a junction between the message and our own experience. So as we are reading, you should think, what is a Jordan? Am I in any Jordan experience? Am I at a junction where I need to move forward, but there is something hindering me? It's like a torrent. I don't think I can commit by my own strength, and I do not know how to advance beyond this point. It could be a spiritual life, it could be a physical life, it could be any aspect of your life. The reality is that you're faced with a Jordan in any dimension. When you look at it, if indeed you are a citizen of the kingdom, you could attempt to go through the physical infrastructure. He could have tried to book a boat. I don't know the boat schedule. Or maybe there was some other shadow maze. Maybe if you walk down a bit, you will find a little patch that is not so thick. It can manage to swim or maybe cross. Or maybe there's one wish. I'm sure people have figured out how to go about that condition. But following the Elijah protocol would be to smite Jordan and to say, where is the Lord God of Elijah? So now, I'm inviting you to reckon in your heart ahead of the time of prayer in readiness to smite your Jordan and to ask, where is the Lord God of Elijah? But now you may not need to say Elijah because Jesus said, I ascend to my Father, your Father, my God and your God. And Paul will say, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he is the one who told us of this provision and gave of himself to us. So say, where is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? And you do it with an expectation, because now you have had an encounter with the chariots of Israel. You know that there are spiritual forces backing Israel's advancement, and it's an infrastructure that is available to every citizen, both as an aggregate and individually. So when you are calling upon the name of the Lord, you have clear regard and respect for the operations of angels, and you expect at the command of the Almighty an intervention, because he was not just testing with this thing. It was a clear setting commitment to truth, and he got that. Is that encounter? Then he moved on. To be honest, this is a very simple message. I'm just trying to figure out how to present it. He moved on, and he was faced with another situation. The situation was the land. Its waters were bitter. He says there was death in it and all whatnot. And he took a cruise of salt. Again, seemingly insignificant, unrelated physical actions that translate to spiritual victory. Spiritual victory. He said, give me a cruise of salt. He poured. I like the way he spoke in that place. There's some learnings we can take. He said, thus says the Lord, verse 21, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. That means that you need to, you know, when you are being groomed to be a king, one of the things you are taught is how to make a decree. You don't just talk. When you want to make a decree that will be written and chronicled and would affect lives for generations, you don't just come and say it. I remember those times when I used to watch one Moses movie. I used to fancy the way Ramses used to talk. He's a bad guy. He would talk. So let it be written. So let it be done. And he just gets into the art of making a decree. Now, if we are kings and we have access to a heavenly advantage, you need to know how to make a decree. There are sentences you talk, and it's as though you are negotiating the situation. There are sentences you make where it's just like you're just making a, you know, just talking. It's just a talk. Yes, it has similar content, but it's not. It says Jesus did not speak like the scribes and the Pharisees, but he spoke with authority. There was something else in his decree that, in addition to the fact that he has that backing and mandate, he spoke like a king. But that is what we... So you see now, before, Elijah may have been learning work But now, he says, thus says the Lord, I have healed these waters, and there shall not be from thence anymore a certainty of speech. So you speak to that situation, and you say, be sweet. Hitherto, there shall be no more any sourness. I speak to this aspect of my life, and you're making decrees, not just vain sentences. He says, whatsoever thou ask, believe it, thou shalt receive. So you need to maintain that in between with a clear expectation. You make a firm decree, because now you know that I am a citizen and I have an advantage. So that day when I was making the lamentation to myself, the Lord was basically enjoining me that, hey, you are not alone. You have an advantage. Lift up your voice and utter it, and you will find the advantage, the intervention of the chariots of Israel. It's a provision given to every citizen, and you will find yourself making leaps in the spirit beyond what your physical self can accomplish. Mm-hmm. Whatsoever the situation may be, physical, spiritual, take stock and train, master how to make a decree, and you will see divine results. Amen. Then he moved on, and I like the last one, which I used to pity for, but now I have no pity for anymore. They went and they were saying, go up, bald head. You know, that thing, Kai, and it is a very dangerous time. This is day one, just a couple hours behind after his encounter. If anything messes up with his head, it can affect his entire ministry, because he has just received. And he's still at the, yes, he has done some works, but arguably he's still in a feeble state, because he has just begun to learn this dimension. He has not, then something is trying to mock him, mock his reasoning, point his attention to a physical blemish and make him feel insignificant. Rather than emphasize on his spiritual advantage, point him to a weakness. Bad head. Look at you. You think now you want to manifest the dimensions of advantage, and then it tells you, it's not you that the other day you were watching. See where you were watching the other day. It's not you that you were getting malice. Just now, you those mocking sentences that wants to belittle your attempt to venture in the spirit. Now, you will do what he did. Any manifestation of strange children, speaking voices, operations of darkness working to draw you back into carnality, you will make a decree. Yes, Chidarasa, you may choose not to use a beer. You will make a decree, a consummation. You marked, how did he even say? He said he cursed that. We don't even know We don't know the words he...
I'm sure he rebuked them.
He rebuked them.
Yes.
So, the exact wordage, that tells us that there are different combinations. There are scenarios where you take the word of God verbatim, and which is what we practiced at the beginning. You take it and you convert it into a prayer and allot to yourself. There are times when you have a freelance to take a sentence and coin it your own self,
yes,
and attach,
yes,
the name of the Lord to,
yes,
it. And it goes for. But the main thing is that you master how to speak authoritatively.
That's
authoritatively
it.
Because you reckon with clarity the backing you have. Because I you could have called them angels, you know, you could have called them chariots, you could have called, but the chariots of Israel, that of Israel shows that it's a state provision, it's a state infrastructure. It is the heritage of the nation. It is the provision. That is the economy of that people. This is how they operate. There is something backing them up on a perpetual basis that is the reason for any other. Their entire experience has been supernatural. First, a formidable nation was smote with 10 plagues in a disastrous manner. They come out and they cross a whole Red Sea. Everything about them was abnormal. So also should be your testimony. You need not have an explainable victory by human sense. But the enemy will always try. That's why those strange children are bad. You always try to draw your heart to the natural and belittle your thinking so that you lose regard for your spiritual advantage,
mm-hmm,
and operate as though you are walking upon the dust. When you see such situation, such voices, such circumstances, you curse them in the name of the Lord. We also have the example in chapter 13. We see a case where cities were taken from Israel. And it's beautiful how at that point, here in chapter 2, Elisha is saying, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. In chapter 13, imagine that lamentation. The guy making that lamentation has understood the, because if you were to, even this, I'm making joke of the above Lagos now that the thief is staff and all whatnot. But back home, those guys, anybody that wants to ascend the throne, they used to cook them with demons, saturate them, and so they are not, if the king should think that he's this thing and he's hostile and utter a curse at that is a terrible something. So now, anybody that is ascending the throne must know the workings, even of Nebuchadnezzar. When he's going for battle, what's that sacrifice they'll do? They pull out the hat and they'll check this thing to see which way they should go and if they'll be prosperous. That tells you that they always consulted spiritual things. Any nation that rose, that's why Satan can show up and tell Jesus, all the kingdoms are mine and I give it to him. Meaning any of the nations that prospered, according to the community of men, needed to engage with some demons or principalities. So, Prince of Persia was the spirit backing Persia. And man, the chariot of Israel. Gabriel told him, I will now go and fight. But that word fight is not fight, it's consume. I will go and deal with him. I will take him out of the way. And when I've done that, then the Prince of Grecia can come. Because, and if you look at the battle, military speaking, was abnormal. It confuses them till now. How a whole Persia could be defeated by Greece does not add up. Sometimes the men are coming and these people just run away and retreat in ways that did not make sense. That's because Gabriel has taken out their backup. So all their consultation in their shrine is useless because their principality has been destroyed. But Israel was a reality, a nation emerging. It's an inverse cancerosia. It's a holy dimension. A cancer is a bad guy, but imagine a reality that is introduced into a righteous element, introduced into a dark environment, sponsored by darkness, and then this kingdom begins to expand and consume its way into different aspects of life and the body because it is backed up by something different. All the other principalities come together and wonder, and they know that. He's speaking about Israel. He says, at that time, Michael, the great prince, shall stand for the people. And when I think of Michael, I remember David's mighty men. They are servants, though. But then there's one, he says, Adino the Ezraite, that sat on the seat. Hallelujah. The Tachmonite. So you have angels, there's one that approximate to a son, albeit they are not. So the height of Adino the Ezraite does not take away the stature of Solomon. So then you see that reality again in Revelation chapter 12, where he says Michael and his angels. That tells you the kind of support that we have. But in chapter 13, he says cities, territories were taken from Israel. But then because of that intervention, now Elisha was that. The king of Israel was crying that you have been the channel by which we access the advantage of Israel, the chariots of Israel. If you go now, we are like sitting dogs. So Elisha paid forward some victories before he left, and then he made him to make all those decrees for which he now finally went and obtained victory. Cool story. But now when it comes into your life, ask what aspect of my life constitutes cities that the enemy has taken through the course of my pilgrimage, through the course of my life. What aspect of my life has the enemy taken? made hostage. Where do I find myself struggling as it were? This has been held hostage. This aspect of me is under another territory. Every man should evaluate himself. The beauty of this is that we are not called to begin. Look at in chapter 13, they fought with Syria many times and lost. But now, when the advantage is invoked, they defeated them. It's only that he smote the ground three times. So we should have our faith stretched to smite multiple times, and we obtain victory. Maybe he smote three times because he was thinking he's not used to victory. He just thought maybe three should be enough. Let me not go and overdo myself. But you should get used to victory, because victory is your exclusive preserve because of the advantage that we have in Christ Jesus. Maybe more can be said, but I think this basically captures the burden for which we can begin to go into a time of prayer, if Tumi will just help us. But the desire is that we should take stock of our lives. We are children of God. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. And being citizens, we have access to this infrastructure, this state provision. It is a state provision. It's the chariots of Israel. Imagine a scenario where you are a citizen of a nation and money is being dispersed, but you are not receiving yours. You are just behaving like one who is an outcast in your own nation. Your personal experiences are contrary to the policy written for the land, backed up by resources of the land.
Oh, Jesus.
But that will not be our portion.
Amen.
Take stock of your life. If you want the Lord Jesus to meet you at a particular junction, it's not so much someone praying for you now. You are a citizen of a kingdom. You have an interaction with the Almighty. You should be able to ask the question that Elisha asked. He said, where is the Lord God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? Are there cities in your life that have been taken? Are there areas of your life that have been held hostage? Is there any Jordan that you are in front of? Is there any situation that seems to hold you hostage, that as though you cannot go beyond this point? Maybe you have attempted to cross it, then it seems too deep, and then you go back. Let us call upon the name of the Lord. Let us call upon the name of the Lord. Let us call upon the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And calling upon the name of the Lord is not complicated. Amen. It is a simple call upon the name of the Lord. He said, call upon me and I will answer. The Lord said to the Israelites, my name is in him. When you call upon the name of the Lord, being the king, his ministering spirits go forth. The chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof begin to move. When the Syrians came after Elisha and his servant was afraid, he said, Lord, open his eyes that he will see that those that are with us are more. And when his eyes were open, he saw chariots of fire all over the mountains, all over the mountains. Those are the chariots of Israel. Those are the advantage of Israel. Let our eyes be open. He saw the way Elisha spoke to those waters. He spoke to that pool of water, to that well, to the waterways of that land. Begin to speak to your situation. Begin to speak to your situation. Begin to speak to your situation. Lift up your head and not be in a destitute condition. Do not accept the lies of the enemy. In any way, the enemy is speaking lies against you. Remember the strange children. 42 of them, they were speaking evil things. Begin to speak. Lift up your voice and curse every strange children, every speaking voices, everything that is trying to belittle the power of God in your life, that is trying to point you in the wrong direction. Begin to curse it. Begin to curse it. Begin to curse it. Begin to curse it. lift up your voice and curse it. The workers of iniquity, in this economy, you make a decree. There may be a no advantage. May the Lord be with us, though we have no advantage. Let it be a decree. Look at that aspect of your life. Look at that aspect of your life. I speak to every bitter situation in my life. I speak to every sour situation in my life. Receive sweetness in the name of Jesus. There shall be no more death. There shall be no more sourness. Be sweet in the name of Jesus. Every embarrassing situation, curse it in the name of Jesus. Speak with advantage. Speak with advantage. The chariot of Israel. The chariot of Israel. The chariots of Israel, the chariots of Israel, Maria, stretch forth your hand, O God. Where is the Lord God of our Father? Where is the Lord God of our Lord Jesus? Where is the Lord God of our Lord Jesus? Where is the Lord God of our Lord Jesus? Call upon the name of the Lord. 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 Remaske paronesi, reska favora vofrenose, geraboski pasko papa, melika renose. Speak to that situation. Speak to that situation. Speak to that situation. Speak to that situation. Are there any territories in your life, cities that have been captured? Begin to reclaim it. Begin to reclaim it. Begin to repossess it. I repossess. Resca po venosse, ma credo scopateni, se rica po venosse la mosche, rica non premosse, expect, expect the chariots of Israel.